This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Mike. All right, hooligans are texting in. They got issues.
No, they don't. They're all well-adjusted human beings.
They got issues with my Hall of Fame take. Buy or sell? It should be black or white. You're either in or you're out. Buy or sell?
I'm thinking.
If it's not an obvious answer, you know I'm right. You know I'm right.
I'm agreeing with the hooligans. I'm taking issue.
All right, we'll get into the text a little bit later. Buy or sell, Hall of Fame voters should have to... We should know who they are.
Buy.
I mean, I guess people are going to go after them. Is that worrisome?
I mean, they're like, not going to go after them. Yeah. Like, I'm going to kill you.
Maybe.
But they will be like, hey, dude,
people are crazy.
You're an idiot.
People are crazy, though. People are nuts.
I mean, yeah, in like the Boston area, but...
I think they should, at the very least, they should come up with a, whether it's an anonymous response as to why, so we'll at least know for sure that it was 100% because of Spygate.
So are we saying, like, overall, this is what the voters are saying about Bill Belichick.
This is why he didn't
get it. He's a cheater.
Yeah, he cheated. Then Tom Brady should get the same treatment, which is asinine.
He should not be allowed to go to the Hall of Fame because he owns part of the Raiders, and that's how I feel. And that's why I would not be allowed to.
But that's your dumb little toddler fanboy fantasy land you're living in.
I hate the Raiders.
Yes, and I also would not be allowed to vote.
No, I would not allow you to vote.
Hall of Fame.
You would vote every Bronco that ever existed, and nobody else would be in. That would be a fun Hall of Fame. Just the Broncos.
It would basically be the Ring of Fame.
Yeah. Buy or sell Mike Shanahan? This hurts Mike Shanahan's case to getting in.
I'm going to sell that.
You think he's going to get in eventually? How many
I think he'll get in. The perception is not Mike Shanahan is a cheater. Like, Mike Shanahan did it legitimately.
Did
There's
they?
Not a
did
perception.
They? Did they? Wasn't there an offensive line scandal of the chop blocking? Wasn't that under Mike Shanahan's tutelage?
Yeah, but, like, it was legal back then.
Yeah, it was a gray area. It was a gray area. I'm just saying.
You can't do that anymore.
They're all...
It's like back in the day, you could, like, you stick them and, like, knock people's heads off. That was football back then. Now you can't do that.
All right, there's buy or sell. Let's read some text. Sports says, I can't think of any logical reason why you insist on a black or white, you're either in or you're out dichotomy. The logical reason is we're not handing out orange slices. If it's not obvious, they ain't great. If it's not obvious to you, they're not great. That's how it should be. Hall of Fame, man. Have some dignity. Have some respect. Have some pride of the hall in which you put your greatest players to ever perform. I'm not saying they all have to be a GOAT and so in one position gets in, but... It needs to be, this is elite company we're talking here. This isn't the NFL Pro Bowl, who's throwing Shador Sanders in there, third string quarterback, who threw 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. This isn't that. This is the Hall of Fame. And if we have to go through a voting process and we really have to think about it, we have to discuss it and all this stuff, then you're not worthy. If it's debatable, you're not a Hall of Famer.
Texas. I'm leaning more towards your argument.
Because it's greatness we're talking about here. You know you're either great or you're not, man. It's not hard.
And there should be two halves of the Hall of Fame. There should be you are great and you are a legend. Because there are some guys in there who really statistically don't belong in
there.
Sure.
And let's follow up. The text says, quote, the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, acted twice deliberately to undermine the integrity of the game. If you can't keep such a wonderful coach out of the hall entirely, you can send a message. But the NFL's already screwed themselves over on a lot of this stuff, man. I mean, they've got some interesting characters still in the Hall of Fame that have done some pretty questionable things.
And maybe, yeah, but OJ did that off the field.
And it was after.
They're ignoring that.
After the fact, yeah. Like, Lawrence Taylor's was a bad deal, too. And he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was arrested and charged with raping a 16-year-old runaway, later pleading guilty to charge of sexual misconduct and patronizing a prostitute. But that was, maybe after the fact. Darren Sharper, you remember him? He was nominated. I guess he didn't get in. There's a lot of guys that have questionable stuff that's happened off the field. The NFL basically says, you can do all that, but if you cheat the game, mm-mm. You remember the Ray Rice thing? You remember Tom Brady, Ray Rice? That whole thing was going on at the same time, bro. Ray Rice was suspended initially for 2 games when video evidence showed only thing the first portion of the video, which the NFL couldn't discover, was that Ray Rice's was it then fiance was knocked unconscious. The NFL saw that clip, that video, and suspended him for 2 games. They then saw the second portion of the video and saw him actually knock her out, and then suspended him indefinitely. I always ask this question. You knew he knocked her out, right? You knew he knocked her out, but you suspended him for only 2 games. The response to why they only initially did 2 games was because they didn't see the first portion of the video. They didn't know if she slipped. Then why did you suspend him for 2 games if she slipped? If it was an accident, why did you suspend him for 2 games? Tom Brady, allegedly, it was never proven. I read the document. It said it was more likely than not that Tom Brady deflated the football. He was suspended for 4 games. Ray Rice knocked out a woman, and because they didn't see the first portion of the video, they gave him 2 games. And Tom Brady took a little breath of air out of a football, and he got 4.
Allegedly.
And that's the NFL. You do things outside, okay, but if you mess with our game, we throw the book at you.
Yeah, Ray Lewis also did some stuff off the field early in his career.
Sure
and
did.
Pled guilty, and all the stuff, whatever he did, all the other guys were found not guilty. The charges were dropped.
And Ray Lewis was still playing when all this happened, right?
Yeah.
And he got inducted into the Hall of Fame, first ballot, didn't he?
Yep.
So they've already set a bad precedent. So Ray Lewis gets in first ballot. And he pled guilty for some of that, right?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what he... I think he flipped and narked on his buddies, and they just didn't have enough evidence to convict anyone.
He pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of obstruction of justice in 2000 after initially facing murder charges for his alleged involvement in a double stabbing in Atlanta. And he was still playing at the time. But that's the problem. To wrap up, if you can't keep such a wonderful coach out of the hall entirely, you can send a message. What's the message?
We're going to make you wait for a year. He'll be in next year.
Yeah, he'll be in next year, and it'll all be done. That's why I think the ballot thing is stupid. Put the pressure on the voters. Oh, we're going to send a message this year. But then he's going to get right in next year. Put the pressure on the voters. He's either in or he's out.
You know this.
And you're
happen.
Not going to say he's out if you only get 1 shot. I also don't like the... They're eligible, but this year we can only put so many guys in. I know. You know why that is too, Mike? That's about money. Because if they put 20 guys in, they have to have... How many do they put in a year? 5? Something like that?
5 modern day, and then I think they do... Like maybe one owner.
So they can't do 20 because it'd be too long of a ceremony, and then they wouldn't have as many ceremonies. They have to make sure they do this yearly because it's a moneymaker. It's a Hall of Fame game. preseason Hall of Fame game.
They don't make that much money off the Hall. It's a preseason
game. It's another thing the NFL does to make a nothing event, which it's the most meaningless game of all, the first preseason game of the season, and that's your Hall of Fame game. But they've put meaning to that because that's when they honor their greats. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Big Hub. So even though he had those bad years after Brady, he deserves it this soon. Dude, 6 Super Bowl championships. I mean, we can argue John Elway didn't win those Super Bowls until he had Rod Smith, Ed McCaffrey, Terrell Davis, Shannon Sharpe, an elite offensive line, and an elite defense. You can argue that, can't you? Why didn't John Elway win Super Bowls before he had those guys? He won them. That's why. So, yes, you can say the Tom Brady, well, it was probably more Tom Brady than Belichick. You can say it. Somebody had to coach him. How many Super Bowls did Josh Allen have? I mean, great quarterbacks. How many Super Bowls did Dan Marino have? 0. There's a lot of great quarterbacks that didn't win. And so does that mean their coach was a failure?
I mean, Don Shula had that one Super Bowl, wasn't with Marino, who was a better quarterback for that franchise.
You still have
than
to coach
any other quarterback they had. Than Greasy.
You still have to coach. You still have to lead. And they did go 11-5 the 1 year without Tom Brady. They missed the playoffs that year, though.
They did.
The Weld County Swami. If they don't correct this Belichick issue, this is a far bigger mockery than any borderline player being in the Hall of Fame. Well, they will. They won't correct it this year. But Am I saying that Bill Belichick not getting in the Hall of Fame is a lesser mockery than lesser players deserving to get in? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this. If you don't allow the writers the cop out of first ballot, second ballot, they can't send a freaking message. They ain't sent a message. You know what you sent? You know the message you sent? That you're incompetent. It's a lot of people that cheat in the NFL, man.
Or that you hold grudges.
Is Drew Brees in the Hall of Fame yet? Yeah, he's up, right? He just got in, right? Wasn't he on the team that did the bounty gate thing?
Yeah, but he was on the offense.
Doesn't matter. That helped him win games, didn't it? Because it motivated guys to take guys out so it'd be easier to win. He received some of the successes that whole bounty gate thing created. I'm not saying that my whole take on the Hall of Fame is a lesser mockery than Belichick. I'm just saying that's part of it. Don't give them first ballot. Don't give them second ballot. Here he is. He's eligible. It's now or never. Go. Then we don't have this whole, well, we're going to send a message and I'm going to type it in my keyboard here and you're out. No one's doing that. If this was the only chance Belichick had to get in, he's in today. And who are these writers?
You know what?
Who are these writers?
It should be writers should be judged. That's what it should be. Writers should be judged. And if you are found to be playing favorites,
and
so,
games.
You know, if you have a Micah out there and he's putting in a Bo Nix, who maybe Bo Nix doesn't have the numbers to
out.
Get in.
You're out
then
and you owe me
you're
money.
You're gone. If Micah is holding a grudge, then you're gone.
This got a lot of people. Former quarterback Ryan Leaf, this was a fake tweet. He put this out. I'll be transparent. This is false, by the way. He's not a voter. I am one of the Hall of Fame voters who didn't vote for Coach Belichick. It's come time that if you are able to penetrate the walls of the voting ilk, yours or anyone's resentments can be fueled with revenge. Tom ain't getting in either. Lose to Foles? No way, no how. He's being sarcastic. And he's basically, this is what the writers are saying, basically.
I like him in his old age.
He's good. He's clean and sober, man. He's awesome. He's actually a great story of redemption. I don't think he would ever be allowed to be a voter. But that's the point of this is like, well, we're going to send a message. They shouldn't be allowed to send messages. Is his resume Hall of Fame worthy or not? Is Bill Belichick's resume Hall of Fame worthy or not?
Absolutely.
Then there's no vendetta. There's no, well, he cheated once. Is his resume good enough to be Hall of Fame? Without the cheating, even. They didn't win a Super Bowl after that.
You have five Super Bowls with 2 years of cheating. Six total Super Bowls. Five Super Bowls that had nothing to do with cheating. So, the only argument I can see is the Tom Brady argument. But then, my argument against that, Tom Brady had really good coaches and a team already built for him. He was the final piece to the puzzle of a franchise that had a good team. All they needed was a quarterback. Guess what? They got a quarterback. They won the Super Bowl.
Faith says, so is Harbaugh. The message is they are stupid. So is Harbaugh possibly ever going to be held back because of what happened in Michigan? Maybe. I mean, maybe. If we're sending messages and these writers have the power and they're going to keep the greatest coach to ever do it. I don't care if it's Tom Brady. The greatest coach to ever do it because the Super Bowls speak loudly. I've seen great quarterbacks not win Super Bowls. I've seen a lot of them not do it. The fact that John Elway only has two sometimes bothers me. He's one of the greats. He's one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it. I mean, like right now, Josh Allen is in the middle point of his career, perhaps, and he still has yet to win one. He still has yet to go to one. You got to coach him there. There's a lot that goes into it that, other than just being a great quarterback. Look at the Bills. They just lost to the Broncos 2 weeks ago. He's arguably the greatest quarterback playing today. You could make the case. And he lost. He turned it over four times.
Yeah, you know, you could also make that argument against Andy Reid. Because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have received benefits of favorite calls.
Exactly.
You could say, well, those guys, it doesn't count.
Yeah,
their dynasty is false, which it is.
Yeah. Well, it's not.
It is.
But that should be held against him with that story that came out that Tanner was all over that day and ever since has warped your mind, which is a legitimate study.
It has been peer-reviewed.
That officials did lean toward not calling anything against the Chiefs. If it was a 50-50 type thing, they would kind of lean the other way. Or they would kind of give the Chiefs NBA all superstar treatment.
Especially in the playoffs.
Well, County Swami, how much irreversible damage has this done to the Hall? We all think it's a joke now. Well, welcome to the club. Because I've thought it was a joke for a while. You guys, I'm sorry. This is what happens when you say 50 writers from other towns and cities. People like you, Mike, that say,
well, I hate the Patriots and I hate Bill Belichick because he beat us once.
That's what the writers do.
This is why there needs to be transparency. And this is why I wouldn't even put myself up. I don't even vote for the Pro Bowl because I know I would just vote all Broncos.
Local beat writers should not be given a Hall of Fame vote.
It should be people who are experts,
It should be NFL, like their elite. Job is to come, to, and it is some of that, but it's also made up of 32 writers that cover their team exclusively. That should not be the case. They should not allow anybody that's, oh, wow, we're way late here, Mike. We're way late here. We got Keeler. He's texting me. 23 minutes after the hour. I was going. I was red hot. That's 23 minutes. It felt like 23 seconds, Mike. Don't joke about that. Don't say anything.
Let's skip Keeler.
Keeler's saying it's his iPhone. Tell him it was his iPhone. It's the whole show.
Stupid Keeler.
Keeling Me Softly coming up next.
Talk. Listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly.
Killing Me Softly with the Denver Post's Sean Keeler. Sorry, Sean, that is not on your phone, man. That is our bad. I was ranting about this Hall of Fame thing. I was just a little heated, so I apologize for that. I completely lost track of time and who I was and where I was and why I was.
Yeah.
What do you think, man?
Caps foot on floor. Yeah.
No Bill Belichick, first ballot. No. I say do away with the ballots, man.
Yeah, you know what that is? There's a lot of that. That's a little Ted Williams middle finger back from the establishment.
It is.
On some level. It is. And yet, no, it mostly is. I mean, there's a little of, hey, well, who were you without Tom Brady, buddy? And I think history is going to say, not much. Let's be clear on that.
You're probably right. But at the end of the day, I mean, you still got it. You still got to win them. And six,
yeah,
Super Bowls.
Rings.
Yeah, you got the rings, man.
That's fact.
Sean, we're finally done with the Russell Wilson contract. And you wrote about it in today's column in the Denver Post. Broncos should spend Russell Wilson money on getting Bo Nix receivers without Butterfingers. George Pickens, Sean. Go get him. Bring him here.
Here's the guy for the Eagle. Brown? Yeah, get him for the Eagles. Just line them all up.
Yeah, get them all.
It's no coincidence that you've got some really good WR2s, wideout twos, and you've got, not coincidentally, some wideout twos and potential ones who are major divas. And I
True.
Think that the man you just described, dude in Philly, there's a reason people are like, I just don't, they're out there and they're not getting the love because coaches and GMs don't want them. And there's a reason. And it's a lot of their personalities, but you know, if anybody could tame a diva, it's Sean Payton, because, it's just Sean being Sean. However, in all seriousness, I'm trying to put this in the kindest way possible. To some degree, it's also why I don't think he has any interest in signing Von Miller back. Never mind that Von's 36 or whatever he is that, you've got to remember the most powerful and valuable person in that locker room and in Dove Valley has to be Sean Payton at all times. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a personality that's – and even though as big and even in not playing as now the legend of Bo Nix grew by his absence a week later, everyone's kind of like, you know, I talked about we can get into that. But regardless, yeah, you do need help there. I mean, you need help in a lot of places. If they drafted at wideout, running back, or tight end, would you complain?
No.
With that end of the first round pick? No. Because clearly that's the side of the ball you've drafted well and strategically late and signed, but you've shopped cheap there. And to George Payton and Sean Payton's credit, they have shopped well, Vele. Franklin to some degree, not so much Pat Bryan, and some of that is injury concern that's come up now. And you worry about that because that WR2 is supposed to be Pat Bryant, and you get all those concussions, you start going, oh boy. And that's just the fate of that's the football gods. But you have to kind of work around that, and that's the position to me, or certainly that's the side of the ball. You need to address, because I'd say you need a big back too, because guess what? If you're going to be playing January football, again, learning experience, if you're going to be playing January football in Denver repeatedly, and that's the goal, certainly the next 2 years, while you've got Nix on this rookie contract, you might have snow and you might need to run the ball. So you might want a little better depth and a little more power at RB1 too, but it's kind of those three to me, and I say that, and they'll draft an outside linebacker, pass rusher.
I saw Mel Kiper's throwing out a D tackle there at number 30.
Yeah.
So yeah, that got me excited.
Yeah, they'll probably do that.
Yeah, well, and now you look at it, it's amazing how quick the pressure turns. The Broncos perhaps overachieved last year, maybe they overachieved this year, and now it's like, hey, this offseason, you can't mess around anymore, because Broncos fans fully expect this team to be right where they were, if not close, if not better. But we all saw it. In order for Bo to take the necessary steps toward his quarterback growth, he has to have better weapons. And Sean Payton outlined that, as you outlined in the Denver Post, talking about the drops. And he's not wrong. They did drop a lot of footballs this year.
They did. I when you write some of these things, or when you're trying to make a point, you try to find a piece of evidence that backs up your claim, or at least what I call it kind of the hammer piece. And I pulled up Pro Football Reference, and I just out of curiosity, because everyone kept shouting it, oh, the second leading drops. So I call up the individual numbers, and I see all these Bronco logos.
Yep.
These stuff, and I went, do they have three guys? I mean, this wasn't in the column that posted, I think, Monday and then your Tuesday paper, but I said, do they have three guys in the top 15 in any other category received? No, the only category they have three guys in, never mind, they're the only team they had three guys in the top 15, was in drops. And that speaks, you want something that speaks for itself. And I think that didn't lie to our eyes. That certainly didn't lie to the numbers. And when people, and certainly the national narrative, I think locally, again, poor Stitty. I think the Stitty experience has made everyone as I thought they might. I didn't want them to. It would be great if they won. But if, we didn't get that best case scenario, you talked about the best case scenario. You didn't get that. You got kind of almost, you got in the lower 50th percentile scenario. But can you imagine, people say, oh, Bo doesn't complete passes. Bo is, his feet and all the what have you, and mechanics. Can you imagine if you had a better, more sure-handed Cortland Sutton clone? And he wasn't great, but he has potential to be better. But if you had a second one to put alongside him, or somebody like the dude with the Giants at Wendell Robinson who can catch the ball, Wendell Moore. I'm going to get that name wrong, but it's when you get somebody who's really sure-handed, or the dude with the Colts who's going to hit free agency, who played college ball of Cincy. You got some big guys, you have big targets there. People point to Bo and his, 63%, 64% completion percentage. You probably can knock that up 3-4 points and knock your QBR up, and then people go, oh, I get it. It wasn't just all Bo. And when you've got a coach that just can't stop throwing the ball for whatever reason, in rain, sleet, snow, or shine, you probably need better weapons to deal with. So I think that's kind of self-explanatory. So it's kind of a no-duh take and a no-duh call. But those drops things, that's crazy that was real. And that thing he still threw for however many yards and TDs, in spite of that, is a testament to Bo and a little bit to the system too. But I'm a little concerned from hearing. I went to the Monday clean out. I didn't go yesterday and today to Dove Valley because we're splitting those duties up, and I was at Nuggets last night. But I did see that Sean said, well, we like what we've got. We just have to change how we coach them, or words to that effect. And then they fired Kerry Colbert, the wide receivers coach. And so I went, oh, boy. I kind of did this is the bitter White Sox fan going, oh, you killed the position coach. And you went, I like our cost-effective talent. And that tells me, oh, you're not going to spend.
Yeah, that was the...
That was a tell to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then on the running back thing, too, it's like, okay, I'm good with bringing J.K. back, but I'm also wanting another guy because I just don't know if Harvey's going to be that guy.
Right.
But then I look at Sean Payton and I go, is it worth wasting a high draft pick, or somewhat high draft pick, or money in free agency if you're not going to run him more than 12 times?
Right. No, I think with J.K., I mean, there's all these bullet points. Yeah, Harvey... It was a decent It was a decent rookie year, whatever, 500 or 600 yards rushing. You saw what he couldn't do. He finishes runs well, doesn't start them well. So he can't create his own as a power guy. Was really good in the, well, except for the seven drops or six drops, was pretty good as a receiver, pretty good in the dump game. You like that. I haven't seen his blocking grades. Don't know if that's a universal thing. But, yeah, you need help there. And with J.K., look, you're just going to get 70% of a season from him. And I think he has to realize that that's going to be the book on that. If he wants to come back, great. And if they can – I mean, are you going to pay him double the $2 million, whatever he got? No. Would you give him a little raise? Yeah. Would you give him a raise with, like, a crud ton of incentives? Yes. He'd be like, you know what, dude, if you get to 15 games or 15 starts, bang, 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 you're a $5 million tailback. You are that top five guy. Because the thing with J.K. Dobbins is he's a top five back for about 10 weeks, and then he blows up, and he's gone, and then you're stuck. So, yeah, you need a plan C. If anything, can we meld Adam Prentice and R.J. Harvey into one big back?
Get that guy.
He just goes. You need a north south back, and Dobbins is that as an RB one. But again, you don't know if you're going to have him in December or January. So yeah, it goes back to that. I mean, if you address any of those three, what you can't do is miss. And I'm not going to say that Jahdae Barron's a miss. He's a question mark. He didn't play a lot. I'm not going to say that R.J. Harvey was a miss. I don't know that he was a hit. But, you know, you're 15-4. I mean, it's a point of not, you know, fretting too much about the foundation where you've got. It's in a good place. And let's be clear, these are first-world problems. The Broncos are in a good place, as good a place as they've been in a decade, again, since the sheriff hung them up. In 10 years, ownership all the way down. This is a team on the come and on the stay. Now they were on the come, now they're on the stay. And to the point, we're looking about how you stay there, and you're just not going to win all those close games again that way, right? That's the other thing. It's like, you've got to be better offensively. And that means, maybe spending money, real money that you've got it now on, you may have to overspend on a wide receiver to a tight end, or a tailback, where tailback money is not really cost efficient, not just because it in the modern game guys are being churned out and they're done by 30 and they're fungible, but because your coach doesn't believe in it, and you had the most mild fall ever, followed by the worst weather playoff game you could imagine at the end that season. That what would be the point? Like you said, what would be the point in investing big money in Breece Hall or got the other ex Iowa State back up in Detroit, you know? It kind of comes back. That's why I kind of wrote the wide receiver two thing, or wide receiver one thing, when I thought about it long and hard, because I went, this is Sean. He's going to throw it 35 times, but yeah, I don't think you can throw it 35 times to these guys anymore. I think you've got to upgrade that room, and we will see if they do. And I think they, I think they want to, but how they choose to go about it may not be in the ways you or I would go about it.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Last one for you. I got about a minute here, Sean. Davis Webb, is he going to be the next offensive coordinator for the Broncos?
I would think so. I would hope so. The thing you got to remember with the Broncos, and this goes back to why the ownership's in a good place and why Broncos country should be in a good place about the ownership, there's no salary cap on coaches, no salary cap on GMs and advisors and staff. If the Waltons can't outbid everybody to keep everybody, nobody can.
Yeah, pay him head coach money. You can do it. You know, just pay him what the Raiders are going to pay him. Your offensive coordinator, right? Yeah, I'm good at talking about guys' money.
Right, and that was a Bronco problem a decade ago. In the fall of the transition from the Bowlen to the Bowlen Trust, and it was a problem. Folks will tell you quietly sometimes with the Bowlen era, as great as that was. So you don't have that problem now. So. Yeah, and if Jim Leonard, same question, you should probably lose one. You probably would lose one of the three if you throw Vance in there too. But you should never be outbid for a coach or an assistant coach if you are the Walton Penner Group, and I don't think they plan to be.
Keeler, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds good. Be good. Thanks, man.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post. I didn't get into half the stuff I wanted to talk to him about because, you know, he's definitely all in on the Bo Nix is a 14-point better guy in that game on Sunday, and we didn't have time. We didn't have time because you blew the clock.
Every time he talks about the Walton Penners outbidding people, that makes me want to go shop at Walmart and Sam's Club.
We go to Walmart all the time, so we support. My kid's obsessed with the toy aisle, so we go there all the time.
Then they sell Legos there.
They sell everything there.
Legos and Mountain Dew.
Everything. 43 after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
I'm going to get into this more tomorrow, because we started the show with talking about the Nuggets and their close loss last night to Detroit, but Peyton Watson, there's reasons to have this discussion because, you know, as far as Denver potentially moving him at the trade deadline, and I know it's not a popular opinion because he's played so well, but you're going to get your guys back soon. You're going to get everybody back, and you're a pretty deep team. Do you get a little deeper? Do you cut back some of that cap money so you make more room for whatever it is you need to do in the offseason, like re-signing guys like Tim Hardaway Jr.? So we'll get into all of that probably on Thursday's edition of the whole show. But Michael, we got to get to what did we learn coming up next. It's Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Basketball is on. Northern Colorado's leader in preps. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on the whole show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 28th day of January, Michael? Hey, we learned we got to start putting more respect on David Adelman and this Nuggets team. I know a loss is a loss, but that Detroit team is, they could be a finals team. And it came down to a couple of missed free throws last night in a game that at times felt really bad. David Adelman and this core, kind of, you use that term loosely because they haven't had their core. This is a deep team. And they're buying what David Adelman is selling. First ballot, second ballot, third ballot, doesn't matter. You're in or you're out. That's it. Put it to these writers, man. Don't give them the cop out. If we're sending a message this year, but we'll put them in next year. Michael, what'd you learn today?
I learned that for someone who doesn't really like the Hall of Fame that much, you really, really are passionate about the Hall of Fame.
I never said I didn't like the Hall of Fame.
I mean, there was a lot of discussion.
I never said I didn't like the Hall of Fame. I don't like how it's being ran. I love the Hall of Fame. I talked about this yesterday with Mike Brohard. I love Ring of Honors. I think all of that stuff is great, but with great power comes great responsibility, and we can't just throw in everybody that was kind of good for a bit.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
I don't like Tanner's whole, like, the you can't tell the story of it. Like that. That's
give me the
more
resume.
Legends.
Like, show me the resume.
Legends.
And I get,
if we're talking about numbers, if we're talking about like how great someone is, that's Hall of Fame. Legends, yeah. That's the other side of
you
the
can't
hall.
Tell
that's the other side of the building.
Tim Tebow has his own chapter in the 100 Things You Should Know as a Broncos Fan Before You Die, written by Brian Howell. Tim Tebow has his own chapter. So is Tim Tebow a Ring of Famer because you can't tell the story of the Broncos without him?
No. You can tell the story of the Broncos without Tim Tebow.
It was.
Please do.
It led to Peyton Manning, so
okay, fair.
There you go. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.
I just won't read that chapter.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.